Hello, everybody. This is John. Welcome back to episode 3 of my basement podcast. I hit my microphone with the brim of my hat. if you are watching this on my YouTube channel, then congratulations. You get to see my face this time. I have been thinking about how to make this podcast a little bit more higher quality. So first, we did the shitty gaming headphones, and that seemed to work out. And then we upgraded to the real microphone. So now I realize that I have a camera that's definitely too good for me to know how to use, but we're learning and we're figuring it out, and that's what we do. We figure shit out here. So here I am in my basement. As you could see, the back of my bedroom wall, my guitars. I don't actually have my family room as the location of this because it gets noisy. What you gonna do? So you know what? Yeah, we're here. It's honestly, it's more of an aesthetic for, I feel like, this podcast to have, like, my guitars in the back of the wall. Today we're going to, as we do, plug another 3 artists. You guys know the drill. I'm gonna start off by saying that I hope episode 3 finds you at a better point in your quarantine. I don't know where I am right now. I feel like I'm going batshit crazy every day. But, you know, such is life. It's just the time we're living in. It's unfortunate, but we just gotta all play our part and hope that this shit ends soon. I think it's in America starting to look more hopeful. I don't know. I live in New York, so it's been pretty bad here from pretty early on. So I think the news are starting to be a little more optimistic here. I don't know. Where are you from? Let me know. Yeah, so I guess I'll just, I don't know, I kind of wanted to do like more of a monologue, but I really don't have anything prepared, so you know what? Oh, you know, I got one, because you guys who can see me can see this. As you see, I'm wearing a shirt that says The Ned, and The Ned is actually the first band that I will be playing today. Also, just an FYI for every audio listener out there, I still will be uploading these as audio files, so your listening experience will not be impacted by any of this. All it's going to mean is that if you want to see my face, or I'm going to start doing interviews this episode, so if you want to see the person I'm interviewing's face, you could also check it out on YouTube, my YouTube channel, JMFT Media, and you will be able to see it there. But yes, the shirt that I'm wearing is by, well, it's from the band The Ned from the Fort Lauderdale, Florida area. I love these guys so much, and without further ado, I'm going to get into their song. I wish I could be doing this action right now, so I thought it was fitting. This is their song, Outside. Hope you guys enjoyed that one. That was Outside once again by the band The Ned from the Fort Lauderdale, Florida area. I go back to my freshman year with those guys. Really sick dudes. They have helped us out in so many ways, and by us I mean me and my band. Both bands, actually, the old one that I was in and the current one that I'm in. The way that I met these guys was, I actually forget how initially communication was started. I think someone reached out to my dad, actually, and then my dad mentioned that we do shows back when I was running local shows. And I hope I'm not too close to my mic. I had reached out to one of them, and I was like, yeah, we're doing a local show in my backyard this weekend, actually. If you guys want to make it all the way up to New York from Florida, if you're willing to make that trip, we'd be more than happy to have you guys play on the bill. And they did it. I think they were on tour, actually. They might have been on tour because I know they tour a lot. And then they came and they played. They rocked it. They broke my pool filter. Great time. It was a great mosh pit. And then ever since then, we've been in pretty symbiotic contact. Artie, also referred to as Papa Ned, loves to do a lot of stuff for those guys, and he helps us out sometimes too. He wrote us a really nice review when we released our single Dance not too long ago. Really, really heartfelt, and you could tell he really listened to the song, which is really cool when you get like a personalized shout out. I mean, we were trying to do a tour this summer. I don't know if that's gonna still happen. I'm gonna wait until it gets like really close before I cancel it, just 'cause like, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the state of the world's going to be in May. It's only the beginning of April right now, and the tour was supposed to be in June. So I guess I have to wait until May to kind of feel it out, see how everything's doing. Which is a bummer, but you know what? It's a bummer for so many people. I can't even say that it's like a bummer for me specifically. But if the if the tour ends up staying consistent, we'd be playing with the Ned in their hometown for the first time, which would be really fun for us. Really nice dudes, really creative musicians. I really like their sound, 'cause I remember when I met them, they had an album already out and an EP, I think, and it was very much like punk. Like that's definitely where their roots originate from. They used to be a very punk band, and even the sticker that they used to pass around, which I also have one on my laptop, reminds me of like a Descendants sticker, and like that's like their you could tell that's like where their origins are. But I don't know, lately they've been coming up with some really experimental shit, and I really like it. I love that they have I think it's a saxophone on that song that I just played. Really pretty song. They have a song on the EP for the shirt that I'm wearing, called Capsized, which is like my favorite song by them. Highly recommend you check that out. They got a whole string section in that, and it's beautiful. I really like when bands have the ability to not just be one thing. They can do one thing and do it really well, and then branch out and try out every other thing that their talents will allow them to try out. And that's really cool. They do it all so well at such a professional level, and they're really cool dudes. So definitely check them out. That is the Ned, and I think it's time for me to interview someone. So this is a special occasion, my first interview on John's Basement Podcast. I'm joined with my bassist and my best friend, Michael Edward Simon, also known under the alias of Bulletproof Mike. And yeah, so here we are. So this is my first question for you, Mike. How has your quarantine been?
My quarantine, not to be like the white guy, where it's like when you ask him, like, how's it going? It's going. Like, my quarantine has been.
My second question for you is, hold on, I even wrote out like a question sheet. We were
You
like,
got the big boy set up.
we're prepared for this one. All right. Ahem.
You know a lot about me. I'm actually not sure how these questions are gonna go.
Honestly, I know probably the answer to most of them, but for the sake of the interview, I'm gonna ask them anyway. So, you know what? We're gonna go out of order. What is or who are your greatest influences when it comes to music?
My greatest influences for music. This is, it doesn't like make sense because I'll think of like the people who like shaped me when I was younger. and it's like the Ramones, like AC/DC, like stuff I would listen to with my dad. But then like I think about like how I write now and like who kind of influences me now, and it's like Corey Gregory from Prince Daddy and the Hyena, all of the band Ozma, Afraid Disco, like weird like emo stuff. So like there's a big disconnect from who my influences were to like who they are, and they're always changing.
No, I totally feel that though, because like for me, it would have been like growing up with my dad, it would have been like Led Zeppelin and Aerosmith and AC/DC, but like I don't really like listen to that anymore. Like every now and then, when I'm feeling like nostalgic and it's like we gotta feel better and feel like we're 14 again, we'll throw on like a Led Zeppelin vinyl. But otherwise, it's like
Yeah.
yeah, it's like for me, it's like Led Zeppelin 4 and Led Zeppelin 2. Like I always throw those two on. On like that
Is a good
nostalgic,
one.
yeah, on that nostalgic day. But like for the most part, like today, I mean, once I started like writing in high school, for me it became like Fiddler and Swimmers and the Frights. For the sake of making this more interesting for the people who are potentially watching this, do you have any fun stories that have anything to do with either the local scene that you and I used to run together or Spitfire from your perspective?
Any fun story? Oh, do they have to do with like the story, or can it just be like, I can't believe that happened?
Anything in the realm of something even remotely connected to like music.
Okay. I guess for me, like whenever I think about like the local scene, like I was thinking about like the amazing shows we put on. And like that first show that we did, how we put Sexy Heroes last and there was no crowd.
That was a nightmare.
And like I feel so bad about that. But I actually do remember that show because we paid Sexy Heroes and because we had so many people, we like paid the other bands. And like I remember giving the money, I think it was to James Stone, actually. I don't, because Kay didn't play that show. Because I gave it to James Stone, and like just like the look on his face, it was like wow, and like that's just like a cool thing. It was like we should be paying musicians.
It's always like the greatest feeling. Like I feel like as a musician too, like you feel it more, like you're more grateful for it. Like when the bands get paid, it's like whoo-wee. It's not even like it doesn't matter how much it is. It's like shit, yeah, pay my band of three people $50. All right, I'll split that anyways. It's like we're making big bucks tonight.
No,
Remember, I'll
we
never
eat
forget,
good.
dude. We get like one Wendy's meal after the show. I'll never
We all split a
forget.
biggie bag.
Like, I get the fries, you get the chicken nuggets, Nick gets the burger, and Jake takes the drink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she gets to pick the drink, though, like in his defense.
That's true. I'll never forget, like, over the summer for us, it was like that amazing feeling where I had to sign two tax forms before playing shows.
Oh yeah.
Like for the
Remember you
Pleasantville
texted me
Music
that?
Festival. Oh my God, that was so cool. Like playing the Pleasantville Music Festival, and then when we played Jalopy Theater, I think it was like 2 weeks prior to that, they had me fill out a tax form before they handed over the money. And I was like, that is epic. We made enough money at two shows to have to fill out a tax form. And that was great too, because I felt all official. I got to sign like, what company do you represent? I was like, John Thomas, manager of Spitfire. I felt so like, this is it. And I was like, all right, I know I only sold 30 tickets, but I feel like it was 30,000. It's like the coolest feeling ever when you get to get
Yeah.
like actually more than $100.
Yeah. No, Jalopy's cool. Jalopy was like a really good venue. Like that's a good story for Spitfire about how like that all came together. Because I'll say it for the listeners who obviously don't know. We had a Sunday Funday gig at the Knitting Factory in Brooklyn.
Be our
And then there was a, what was the term they used? Corporate buyout,
yeah.
which is a slang for someone paid more money. So that's, you know, it happens. I get it. I'm a business major. It's cool. But we already sold a few tickets. We're trying to like scramble to get this show. And John reached out to a bunch of places. And one of them was the Jalopy Music Hall. And they were like the only ones to say yes. And they said yes so quickly.
Who wants to even respond for that matter?
And
I must have sent like 50 emails out. I got one reply.
wow. And that was just crazy. Like the fact that that happened was crazy. And then like as soon as we had that confirmed, I text John Kenna, who is the singer of the Violets, because they're Brooklyn and Long Island or Staten Island.
Staten Island.
They're Brooklyn and Staten Island based, because that's their backyard. I want to see if they want to do the show with us. And then they just brought like 70, 80 people. It had to have been.
Packed that room with us. Like we had a
We're gonna get
35
30, 40.
yeah we had a 35 ticket minimum that we had to reach for Ticketing Factory, and I was all excited because we had hit like 40 tickets, and that was like the first time like we as a band alone had sold that many tickets for just us. And then like
Yeah.
that's why I was like, I'm not willing to lose this show as a date. Like we're finding another place in the city, we're fucking doing it. And then they brought like double the people we brought. That's a tiny room too. So that shit felt like
Yeah.
that felt like a packed club.
Yeah.
That was a really fun time. They were super
Anyway.
nice too. Like they were
Yeah.
the nicest people at a venue I think I've ever dealt with. Like there's definitely been some really
Right.
cool experiences. Like Nice Guy Booking, I will shout out. I love Nice Guy Booking. Sound the Groove, our homies from the West Coast, always hooking us up with some great shows in Brooklyn. Super courteous people. But like I'll never forget
Yeah.
like the hospitality of Jalopy when they did like the free water and the mason jars for everybody there.
Oh my, that was amazing.
Like a really hot but nice summer day out.
Did you go into the basement at Jalopy?
Oh my God, it was terrifying. It felt like you walked
It
into a
was terrifying. And the 5 foot like paper mache bust of just like some random dude. That's my sleep paralysis demon. Like if I really had to think about it.
I remember I was like really scared from that too because I went down at one point alone to get my guitar. Like I was like about to warm up. It was right before we were going on. I think the Violets played before us, right? It was Balcony Talk, the Violets, and us.
Yeah.
Violets were on like their last song, so I went down to the basement to start tuning my guitar up and just getting it ready. And I thought I was alone. And some dude who worked there was like doing something down there, and I didn't know he was there. So I'm just like tuning my guitar.
It's deceptively big.
Yeah, and then he like dropped something. So I just hear this mysterious sound from this basement. I know I'm alone. I know there's like so much sound upstairs that no one's gonna know to find me. I'm like, this is it. This is how I die. But it was just some dude like fixing a guitar or something downstairs, and I was just like, oh my God.
That was a fun time.
Pleasant
Yeah.
Music Festival followed that. Real sad to hear that they canceled
Ooh.
this year's show, but honestly, very responsible decision on their end, and they're such great festival runners that I know that that's gonna just make it even better next year. Also, super cool that they're having that they're rerunning on News 12 footage from the
Yeah.
last year's festival, which was like mostly us and Mosa.
We local news legends, baby.
We are.
Hometown heroes.
I got
Speaking
texted
of Mosa, Stream Mama's Got Brand New Shoes by Mosa. That is legitimately one of like the best songs I've ever heard.
Yeah, they're really good.
That's my whole ad for Mosa.
They deserved that a main stage opening.
Right?
Yeah, that was like also like one of the most fun experiences getting to play that festival. Like we felt like we were musicians. Like we didn't feel like the dive bar musician that like might be entitled to like half a beer. We felt
Yeah.
they're like, all right, you have full access to every VIP option, the VIP bathrooms. That was my favorite.
No, there was one place we couldn't get into.
The tents.
No, not the tents. Well, yeah, the tents. The beer garden. And I
That's
only wanted to get into the beer garden because there was a hot dog truck in there and I wanted the hot dog, but they wouldn't let me in.
Yeah, if we were
That
21,
was so bad.
if we were 21 at that festival, they totally would have let us enter the beer garden because my dad was allowed to.
Yeah.
Such a
Sean went in
Sean.
for a bit.
Oh my God, Sean had the time of his life. I just remember Sean super so for all you guys who don't know Sean is one of our best friends who's also an amazing photographer, and he took photos for us at that show. And he's
At Sean Gardner Photo
yeah,
on Instagram.
he's a couple years older than us, so he was 21 already by this past summer. And I just remember like walking up to him at one point. He was just all happy. He had like a beer in one hand and his camera in the other, and he had just like finished talking to like one of the guys in Everclear, and he's just like,
Yeah.
"This is the best day of my life. Thank you for this." And like, and like he knows also at the end of the day he's also getting paid. I'm like, damn, this is like the best gig in the world
Yeah.
right now.
Do you remember, like, we said hi to Freddie from Everclear backstage, and then their set starts, and he's a nicotine fiend. Like, he was probably chain smoking pretty recently,
Yeah.
but he quit. He has a vape now. He's vaping. His vape's like on his amps. He turns around, he points at us, and blows the vape cloud at us. That might have been one of the coolest things. Like the stupidest things, but the coolest things to ever happen to me.
Having like a legitimate
To
like
have like a rock star
yeah.
vape in my direction.
And like he pointed at us too, like he saw us like backstage, he was like and like you and I were just like like
And then he left his vape on stage, and then like when the set ended, and he ran faster than Usain Bolt to get it.
oh my god, yeah.
He was not fucking around with that
I felt bad too because Everclear had so many like sound technical issues at that show.
vape. Yeah,
Their
it's
amps
tough.
weren't working, I think. I don't know. I think it was their equipment from their tour. I'm not sure because I don't know. I think Soul Asylum, I don't think, had any problems. And I just remember trying to talk to Art Alasakis, who's the singer who I listen to on Lithium like all the fucking time because that's what I listen to whenever I drive. He's got like radio takeovers a lot. And I just remember saying like, "Oh my God, good job! That was such a great show. I'm such a big fan." He was like, "Are you kidding me? That was shit!" And I was like, "Oh, I thought it sounded nice." Just like super scared. And I don't even blame him for that. Like I'm not even gonna try to say that to like put any slander on his image because I still think he's such a nice dude. He was just like super pissed off because you know like I get it. I've been there. When like your equipment doesn't work and it fucks up your performance, that's like the worst feeling in the world. The last thing you want is people to start talking about. I always compare it to that Delancey gig that we did, the first one we played in the City with Spitfire. That was such a shit show. I broke a string within like the first song. My amp was fucked up. Nick's amp was too loud. I think Jake broke a drumstick, which like never happens to him. There was just like so many
What?
problems with that show.
Sean passed his astronomy midterm.
He did, and
His final.
he also got some nice shots too. So that's like my outlook. Like, there's
Yeah.
no bad shows. There's only good shows.
Silver linings.
Yeah, there's good shows and there's good photo opportunities. So
Yeah.
that's how I gauge like a show. I don't think that like it, obviously a shitty show does happen and it bums you out in the moment. But like looking back, I'm like, you know what? At least hopefully I get some good photos out of it because you can't hear the photos. If it sounded like shit,
Exactly.
photos looked good, you know, you still get to put that on your website or your Facebook or your Instagram and still make it look a little
Yeah.
more professional. Because I mean, the Delancey is a prestigious venue, so there's photo proof of us playing another club in New York City.
Yeah.
So that was big. I think that was cool too because I think all of us were kind of on the same page with that. We were like, yeah, this was not our best show, but at least like it was our first show in New York City, so I think we were just all stoked to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. My final question is,
Wow, this is so nice.
yeah, this is great. This is great. My final question is there anything else that you want the general public on record to know about you, by you, coming up for you, anything?
Playing a band called Spitfire. I feel like not enough people know that. I play bass. I feel like not enough people know that. The first time I played with John and Jake, they didn't know, like, if I could play.
That's actually very true.
And I'm not saying I'm an exceptional bassist, but I'd say I'm like pretty okay.
Your Spitfire is one and only.
Exactly. Well, that's not true.
As far as I'm concerned, you're Spitfire's one and only.
I'm the first official.
The first, that's true.
I play bass in a band called Spitfire. Please listen to Spitfire. My name is Michael Simon. I play in a band called Spitfire. I play a band called Spitfire. I fully forgot the whole pitch. Please listen to Spitfire wherever you can. We're on Apple Music, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, Deezer. We're updating our SoundCloud presence every week. We are also, we're not on Bandcamp, right?
No, we're not on Bandcamp.
No, we are not on Bandcamp. Take that one away.
We're not.
Oh, we're also on Amazon, not Amazon Unlimited. You don't have to pay for it. If you have Prime, you can listen to us. Please listen, please stream, tell your friends. And support local music whenever and however you can.
Hell yeah. Thank you for your time, Mike, and I hope that this
Thank
saved
you. This was a great
you.
interview.
This was. All right. Stop.
This was fun.
I hope you guys enjoyed that. That was my best friend and my bassist, once again, Michael Edward Simon, who I also know him as Bulletproof Mike, as the Spitfire fandom community will sometimes refer to him as. So yeah, I'd like to start doing more interviews like that. I might put another one in this episode. We'll see. If not, then you're gonna have to wait till next episode for one, but we're also gonna see how long this episode comes out. If it's like pushing 45 minutes, I might throw in another interview. That'll fluctuate depending on who I can get and who's available. But I'm going to jump right into the second artist for this episode. These are my very good buddies from Philly and Deep Jersey. They're called the Tear Waxies. I love these dudes. Me and Michael met these guys when Spitfire did a tour last year in the wintertime, and we're still very close with these guys to this day. So here is Gemini Danger by the Tear Waxies.
Down in our danger, you're a stranger to all my friends.
Once again, that was Gemini Danger by the Tearwaxies, our good buddies from Deep Jersey and Philadelphia. Really love those guys. Very close with Vinny and Harry, especially. Sylvester's a super cool dude. Really funny group of individuals. Honestly, they've all three of them have very unique personalities, and they're very fun to hang out with. Michael and I have already done it twice. We've driven down from New York to Philadelphia to just chill with those guys for like a night or a weekend, because those guys are just they're a good time. Their music is awesome. I remember we met them when they were playing their first show, which was I think the third night of our tour, and it was their first performance ever, and they sounded awesome. I was like surprised when they told us that they had never played like a real show before that at Championship Bar in Trenton, New Jersey, and that was a really fun time. They were really cool. They left to get dinner. And then they're like, oh, we'll be back. And then I was like, all right, these guys aren't going to come back. Because, I mean, that's pretty normal. Like, when you're playing with a band that's never met you before, like, you don't expect them really to stay for your set. You hope they do, but you never can really expect it. And they did. They got their McDonald's, and then they doubled back, and they came, and they sat for the whole set. And since that day, we've been pretty close friends, and we're still in very close contact. We still hang out a lot. We still play video games all the time with them. So, definitely check those guys out. Awesome surf punk and just some awesome licks. I love their instrumental writing is superb, and I love all the aspects of their music. It's very fun. I work out to their music a lot, actually. It's in my gym playlist. And that brings me to the final artist that I'm going to plug today. This artist hails from my hometown of Rockland County, New York. They are called Dead End. And I think I've mentioned them vaguely in my last episode of the podcast. They are a rock band. I would describe them more on the hard rock end of alternative, maybe. Really awesome dudes. The bassist and singer, Toby, used to be a student at the school that I taught at. Really sweet dude. Another trio of fantastic musicians. So the song that I'm going to play is called Cut Loose by Dead End. Hope you guys enjoy it.
Come clean, he says. I don't know why you gotta be so goddamn mean. You're sick and tired of your abuse. What makes it so hard to love you? He's had enough of your bullshit because the voices in his head have said, why don't you quit? Shoot me down. After a while, you know I like the ground. No matter what I do, it's never enough, because you show me all the tough, but you never give me love. My neck. You push me around.
Hey everyone, welcome back to my second interview for this portion of the episode. I'm joined here with my very talented friend Katie, who goes under the alias Katie-O. Katie, you may introduce yourself.
Hi, like John said, my name is Katie. I release music under the alias Katie-O. I'm very happy to be here. How are you doing, John?
Doing great. How's your quarantine been?
It's been okay. I honestly haven't been doing much up until like online school started because I'm a senior in high school, so I just got to finish out the year and then I'm done. But you know, I've been trying to write, but it's so hard. I'm so bored all the time.
I totally feel that. It's like you would think that when you're stuck home, it's like you have all this time to write, but then like the creativity is just completely stumped because there's so many things to do while at the same time there's like nothing to do.
Yeah, no, like I've been playing so much Minecraft, like it's so bad. I just don't want to do anything else.
That's what I did. Sorry. So I got like really sick before my spring break started, which was not a good time to get sick. Cause like, I got like really sick. Like the second it became an outbreak in New York, I just had, but like everyone was like freaking out. So I went home and I was just like super fucking sick. And I had like a 104 fever. And
I was playing
Minecraft for a week until the end stopped. And then I was like, oh, you know what would be great right now? And then, like, I'm already getting emails from professors on, like, classes, too. I'm like, no, I'm going to play some Fortnite. And that's, like, what.
Yeah, no, I know. It's so – it's just, like, I had to write, like, two essays for my Spanish class today. And I just – different language right now. Like, I can't do it.
I feel that. No, I'm, like, I have to register for next semester – in like a couple of days,
and ah no,
I can't think about not getting out of bed before 1 o'clock.
No, me either. I've been sleeping so late; it's so bad.
Yeah, like for me, it's like I'll go to sleep at like 4:30 in the morning, and then I'll be like, oh yeah, I can set my alarm for like 10:30, and then I wake up at like 1, and it's like, yeah, I can sleep.
Yeah, no, it's so I like I started staying up till like 3:30 starting like 2 weeks ago because my friends would stay up for like 6 hours playing Jackbox and I would wake up at like 1 and my mom would be like, what are you doing? It's crazy.
That's like the quarantine vibe. All right.
Yeah.
Get into the music section of stuff. okay, I have my handy dandy list of mediocre questions and
I just realized the end of my microphone fell off. Oh no.
It still sounds way better than mine. You know how to use microphones, so that's.
Yeah, no.
I'm like not good at that. So you know what? I'm gonna go into that then. What got you like into writing music?
Okay, so I have always been interested in music since I was probably like a little kid. When I was 5, I like to tell the story every once in a while. My parents bought me a Disney princess keyboard for like, I think $30. And I didn't know how to play it at all, but I would spend like hours just like smashing on the keys and singing random words. And I think my parents have like a video on cassette. It was good. But yeah, I mean, when I started writing music for real, I think I was maybe like 13 or 14. You know, it's hard to start writing music when you're like in middle school because what are you going to write about if you haven't experienced anything? Like, I remember I would just sit there and I'd be like, I don't know how to write. But yeah, I actually started out writing like, I want to say more comedy type things when I was in middle school. Like, I remember the first song I ever wrote where I was like, wow, this is pretty good. I wrote a song called Lax God. I love that song so much. It's great. It's basically, I pretty much stole the chord progression from Hotel California by the Eagles. Oh, so I can't necessarily use it anymore. But, yeah, that's like the first time I can remember like actually writing a song and sitting down. But I actually, In the Air, funny enough, it's the first song I've ever released. And it's the first song that I ever like sat down and wrote where I was like, I actually like this. This is pretty good. Of course, I've like done some tweaking for it because the first time I remember for like a year I didn't have like a clean transition to the chorus and it was so awkward, but you know, you get better at restructuring your songs and, you know, writing about different things once you're older.
The drums were like really good on that. You see, those are programmed, right?
Yes. So I do not own a drum kit. I'm looking to buy electric drums because I'm like, I don't practice the drums a lot, but I can hold a beat. So I've been looking to purchase some electric drums, but I'm going away to school in like a few months, so I don't think I will. But I actually used GarageBand to record everything. I do not have Logic, or I've been trying to get into Audacity, but I don't know if they let you program drums. I'd have to look into that. I don't like to use Audacity. Is confusing for me to look at because I look at GarageBand and it's got everything like neatly and I can use all my controls to mix and stuff like that. And then I go to Audacity, I'm like, what is this? Like, why is everything square? I don't, but yeah, so I do use programmed drums. Apple has a feature called Smart Drums where they have a whole host of drummers and different drum kits. So I prefer to use Kyle. Kyle's my go-to guy. He's like the first one that's programmed. He's an alt-rock drummer. And I just kind of, you can choose what drums they play. They have different settings of snares and different styles. It's a whole giant library. It's like 11 gigs of my storage on my computer.
Wow.
But I would like to use real drums because the smart drums are great because they sound like real drums and I can program them. I can turn the volume up and down. I can have them change at different parts and add on different cymbals. But, you know, like I can't add specific fills when I want them to be, you know, I can't like program. I'm going to try and figure out how to program that, but there's still some limitations. So I would like to switch to recording real drums at some point in the future.
That would be really cool. Like, already the quality, though, is, like, so crazy. Like, they're technical, too. What was it? I think Speak and Code. It's, like, you did, like, some, like, time signature, like, switches on stuff there. And I was just, like, that's really fucking cool.
Yeah. Yeah. That was my, actually, my favorite song to record. It was so fun because it's just, like, all the layering I did at the end with the vocals, it took me, like, a week to do that, and I kept changing it. The thing about, I love recording, and I love writing. I hate mixing. I hate it so much. I don't want to do it. I can't wait to, like, network with people in college and just give them my stuff and be like, do this for me because I hate it. Because you know, you listen to it so many times and it's just like something's wrong, not like totally wrong, but like a little thing's wrong and you just sit there and you keep trying to fix it. And like, oh, it's just, but yeah, that song, that was so fun to record.
Yeah. I always give so much credit to people who know how to mix and master because I'm so awful at it. Like I always tell Buster, like sometimes like, I'm trying to figure out how to just like do like raw tracking and because Nick records and masters our stuff when we do our recordings, our guitar. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny because, like, I sent it to Buster first because I don't want to burden Nick. I was like, I made, like, one file, and I was like to Buster, I'm like, could you mix this? Would it work? You don't have to do it. I just don't know if it's doable. And he's just like, yeah, that would work. And I was like, all right, I'm cool. I'm going to text my guitarist now. And it's just like, I like. It's also funny too, because all of us have different softwares, and we're like,
yeah,
we're gonna be doing like different remote tracking. So it's like I do my stuff in Audacity, but Michael uses Ableton, and Jake uses Pro Tools, and then it's finally mixed in Logic.
Yeah.
So it goes like literally on like every large software. So that should be interesting, and hopefully it works out.
Yeah, Buster's stuff is so clean. I love his mixing. I listen to Cheap 52 all the time. It's so good.
Yeah, I remember like Buster sent me there was like he sent me probably upwards of like 15 songs in my sophomore year, your guys' freshman year, and he was just like, I wrote these demos, can you tell me what you think about it? I was like sitting in English class in sophomore year. I was like, you don't do shit in sophomore year. So instead of doing anything,
yeah,
like I put my earbuds in back when phones had earphone jacks. And then I just remember like the quality was so much better than anything that I tried to make, and that's why I ended up like when I started Spitfire asking him to do it for me. And then I think like four of the songs he sent me ended up making it to the Cheap 52 like album. And I was just like, how did, like, it already sounded good.
Yeah, no, how like
it sound better.
I'm so impressed with the production quality. It's so good.
he used to do everything in GarageBand too. I know his EP, I think, was all done in GarageBand.
Yeah, it sounds incredible. It's amazing. I'm trying. I'm like, every time I like convince myself, I actually use another software to master my tracks. I mix everything in GarageBand, and then I master through this site called Lander. It's free. It gives you, I have a subscription for I think $6 a month where I get unlimited MP3s, so I can mix whatever and I can download as many MP3s as I want. But if you're looking to use it for free, it gives you like 2 free masters a month. It's great software. I don't know if I'm going to use it again, but it really did help smooth out a lot of the tracks on my last EP, so I really like it. I swear by it.
That's good to know. Have you committed to a college yet?
No, I am currently choosing between Fordham University and George Washington. I finally narrowed it down to 2. I sat down and I was like, okay, here we go. Yeah, it's a little hard right now because I can't visit anywhere, and a lot of them aren't offering as many virtual services as they said they would. But I think I'll be wherever I go, I'll be fine. It'll be okay.
Okay, so my next question, that actually kind of covered like 4 of them altogether. Who are some of your greatest influences?
I would say probably the people who have had the biggest impact on my writing. They're back there. I am like super heavily influenced by Radiohead. It's my favorite band. I have loved them since I was like 13, I think. I really admire their songwriting. I think Thom Yorke is one of the greatest songwriters. I wish I could like achieve the poignancy that he is able to convey with a few sentences. I love their stuff. That's probably more lyrically though. I wouldn't say that a lot of the music I've put out lately has had a very Radiohead feel. Some other influence of my more recent stuff, I would say I've actually been very influenced by a lot of smaller indie artists right now. I really, really love Phoebe Bridgers' stuff. I don't know if you've ever listened. Her album, I think, I forget what it's called. The song Motion Sickness is off of it. It's so incredible. A lot of the style of my music that I've written recently has kind of changed. I'm trying to gear more towards more ambient, softer acoustic stuff. Another person who I'd say has had a pretty big influence is Mitski. I love Mitski. I love her stuff so much. She's an incredible lyricist. She's been able to evolve a lot. If you've listened to her older stuff, it's so orchestral and so like simple in the chord progressions, but it's so incredible. And then when you look at her most recent album from 2018, it's this like incredible like indie pop album. Like I love her stuff so much. Yeah, I'd say like right now, those are my biggest influences. Yeah, I'm not really sure. Probably a lot of my older stuff was influenced by more hard rock, I would say, but now I'm drifting more towards some like softer acoustic indie stuff, I would say, for my newer stuff.
That's pretty cool. So it's gonna get a little experimental.
Yeah.
You have any new releases in the works already or plans for them?
So I have been writing a lot. Well, I haven't been writing too much. I've had an idea since, I want to say, like, it's probably the start of the school year last year. I want to release one last EP, I think, before I go away, but I'm not going to put too much pressure on myself to finish it in time if I don't, because I know I'll have plenty of time to work on stuff in the future. Right now, I think I'm going to start recording a single. One that I wrote like a year ago that I love, and then I'm gonna try and get kind of like probably an acoustic EP of demos, just because I'm not super into using program drums anymore. I've tried with a few of these songs and it just, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, this sounds pretty good, this sounds natural, and other times it just doesn't sync and it's just like, oh. So yeah, I'll probably do probably a demo EP if I can over quarantine, if schoolwork doesn't kill me by the end of this. Yeah, I can't wait to get, you know, I can't wait to go to college. I'm so excited. I can't be in high school anymore. Not to sound edgy or anything like that. I don't blame you.
That's like senior year too. It's like, all right, you, for the first semester, you're worrying about getting those applications out and making sure everything's just like looks as good as possible. And then by second semester, it's like, get me the fuck out of here.
Yeah, no, like, I remember I took midterms, and then I was like, okay, I'm done, that's it, no more, I just have to wait now. And then now, since I'm, like, almost down and making my deposit, I'm just like, nope, we're not doing this anymore. Yeah.
It was so dangerous for me, because I got into PACE really early, because I did early action, so mm-hmm. I was committed to PACE in March. When most people like will wait until decision day on May 1st to commit. So I knew on like March 28th that I wasn't going to do shit starting March 29th. And it was so dangerous. I knew that. I knew like, all right, what are they going to do? Fail me? No, they're not. And I also knew that if I had 20 lates or absences that they would take away my parking pass. So consistently throughout the whole year without fail, I was late 19 times for every quarter because I knew that was like that's as far as I could push it without, like, having to face, like, actual repercussions. And then people would be like, you know, you should probably start coming to school on time. I'm like, yeah, sure. Next quarter.
Sure.
I just never did. Finally, bringing me to my last question. Is there anything else that you want anyone who might be – keep hitting my mic with my hat. Is there anything else that anyone who might be listening to this right now you would want them to know about you or your career or anything on the horizon?
Okay, so let me think for a second. I have not been so active recently, I would say. It's been almost a year since I've released anything new, but I do have some projects coming forward that I'm starting to work on. If you want to follow me, my Spotify is KDO. I post a few playlists there if you want to check them out. I think I'm pretty good at putting those together. You can follow me on Instagram. My public Instagram account for music stuff is KDO with 3 I's because the ones with one I. Oh, is it 3 I's? I think it's only 2, actually.
I think it's 2.
Sorry, let me check.
I plugged it last episode.
Oh, it's with 2 I's. Sorry. I forget. I think it's KDO with 3 I's somewhere else. I think it might be my Club Penguin account. But you can follow me there. Yeah, I guess if anybody who's watching this has listened to my stuff recently, I want to thank you. I've recently had a big spike in listeners that I have no idea where they all came from, but it's really great. I really appreciate when people listen to my stuff. It really means a lot to me. If you want to check my stuff out, I have one single that I put out in 2018. It's called In the Air. I referenced it briefly at the beginning of the interview, and then I released my first EP, Circle Around the Sun, last year. It's 4 songs. It's like, I think like 21 minutes if you want to check it out. I think it's great. But thank you for having me, John. This was so much fun.
Thank you for doing this. It's been a really smooth interview. And thank you for your time. We should play Minecraft soon.
We should play Minecraft soon.
All right. I'm going to let you go. Thank you, Katie.